Is it, this is like the main town? What a main town area?
No, that's not the main town. That's where the centre is.
So I'm sitting down with filmmaker Gillian Lay in her office. And right now we're scrolling and clicking through the mountains of Zimbabwe on Google Maps.
So what you're seeing here is a whole lot of these bunds and swales, so down bits and up bits.
Right, so the water won't come down.
So the water will be held as it comes down.
A couple of years ago, Gillian travelled to Zimbabwe to film a documentary called The Chikukwa Project, which is about bringing the practice of permaculture to the Shona people of Chikukwa.
So you said you're only there for about 2 weeks or so?
Yeah, we were. And
were you pretty much filming the entire time, or were you...
Oh, we were filming all the time. And the other thing was funny that I didn't tell you before is the electricity runs out.
That's really?
It's called Zessa, I think. Oh, here's another funny story. But anyway, so you'd come home and hope that the lights would be on because then you could back up your card to your computer. Otherwise, right. You wouldn't have cards to film with the next day. And mostly we were in luck. It goes off and on during the day. But there's one tree at Chikukwa that they all has a really good line of sight to one of the mobile transponders, whatever you call them, relay stations through the mountains. And so everybody hangs their mobile phones on that tree.
Really?
Yeah, to get because they know they'll get a signal and they'll hear it ring, you know.
Mm.
And someone once visited them and said, "That's a fabulous tree. Can I get a cutting of that?"
No thanks.
Well, no, it won't necessarily get you
yeah.
mobile reception, but they thought it might.
Permaculture is essentially a sustainable practice of agriculture, meaning you work with the land instead of against it. A lot of this is utilising the environment to do things like grow crops more efficiently, craft basins into the land to hold water, and funnily enough, permaculture was invented by an Australian.
It was originally Bill Mollison, and he was joined by another person, and they wrote a book, a permaculture manual. They themselves thought it would be taken up by the people who produce the biggest carbon footprint, i.e. in the West, and they're rather surprised to see that it was taken up by people in developing countries, and they're very pleased to see that it's been so successful.
And for a place like Zimbabwe, permaculture has been crucial. Deforestation and degradation of woodland has resulted in massive erosion over much of Zimbabwe's surface, where soils have been made infertile, with no means of growing future crops. If this deforestation doesn't stop, it's been estimated that Zimbabwe's natural woodlands could disappear by 2065. This has already caused massive problems for those who live there.
They weren't producing enough. That there was malnutrition and hunger, massive, you know. So kids with pot bellies, kids hungry all the time, you know, and adults.
Was it still like that in certain parts?
No. I mean, I would say within the whole area under permaculture, no. And in fact, people are growing enough surplus that they could sell it and get money for textbooks for their kids and, you know, other things. No one has a TV. No one has a car.
It's like a peace project. You'll find all the links. When you apply the permaculture principles, you see the principle, the link.
And we interviewed a shaman and his brother and the chief's son, all about the sort of cultural practices and why they felt permaculture fitted with those.
What was it like talking to the shaman?
Oh, he wasn't very talkative. But they believe cutting down trees is bad for the spirits and not looking after the ground is bad, again, for the spirits and so on. So for them it was already a fit with their religious beliefs.
What was it like for you going over there and filming this new permaculture culture kind of unravel?
Oh, it was just amazing. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff growing and it's great to see the way things are growing. Like, for example, they grow pumpkins and beans amongst the maize so that when the maize dies down, the pumpkins and beans take over. So they do a lot of what you might call companion planting of various sorts, plant herbs in the orchard so that that keeps the bad pests away from the trees, and that they're people who can't afford fertilizer and GMO seeds and all that sort of stuff. So they get their own seeds, and instead of using a permaculture, yet they use the manure from the animals that they have, so they corral them at night so they can collect the manure.
Could you see from the... I don't know exactly how all the permaculture was necessarily set out, but could you see some of it from where you were travelling?
Oh, look, you can see everywhere. You can look up and see, oh, that's terraced. They're using permaculture. And you can see when you look over a hillside, we've got some shots like that in the film, you know, there's the little settlement of houses, there's the next little settlement. So you can sort of see where people's, you know, little holdings were, and you can see these lovely views of that. And their houses are really interesting too. They're mainly mud brick. All the water from cooking and from the bathroom goes onto the orchard, which is nearby. And so they grow vegetables and fruit near to the house and herbs right near to the house. And then further out, they have their cropping fields. And further out, there'll be orchards or natural areas, yeah. Mm.
And then that's where a lot of the stuff is happening, that permaculture, like, I guess, community practice.
And... yeah. Another thing that they do, for example... they don't have hot running water or anything like that, but they dry they do the washing up outside and put it on a sort of wooden rack that they've made, you know, at waist height, and put all the clean dishes after washing there to dry in the sun, which gets rid of germs. Mm. So they've taught them a lot about sanitation, if you like, in the process. You know, so they adopt all these other principles. So it's lovely to see these racks of dishes drying in the sun.
Are you doing that now at home instead of using detergent?
No, but I do it to some extent. I have the sun actually comes into my sink, which I'm very grateful for. Mm. And so quite often I just rinse stuff off and leave it for the sun to do the work, yeah.
Earlier this year, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe declared a state of disaster in rural areas hit by a severe drought. Millions have been affected by food shortages, with their crops taking a massive toll.
I should say, though, at the moment, there's a drought affecting the whole of Zimbabwe. Things, I think, at the moment are not so good for that reason, and they still need support.
So with the drought, would that mean that they might potentially again have to adapt their permaculture systems?
Yeah, yeah.
Just as if we would have to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So they're always tinkering, if you know what I mean, with the system to make sure it works as well as possible. And, I mean, there's, you know, issues like if population blows out, well, then can it support so many people? And I guess they're helped a bit by that because quite a few children decide to go off and have jobs in the city. So they're not always supporting an ever-increasing population, you know.
Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to present it as if it's a complete perfect paradise. They still have problems. They have problems with the weather. They have problems with each other. It's not as if there are never any stealing and never any murders and never anybody running amok. You know, these things still happen, but they do have ways to deal with them.